Yes, thank you for listening to KPTZ, supporting all your local groups that help keep this station running. And we are a resilient bunch here in Jefferson County. And here to tell us just how resilient we are is Brian Koo, Executive Director of the I forgot what the thing I was on the board of when I introduced you earlier, but it is Team Jefferson, the Economic Development Council of Jefferson County. Brian Koo.
Hey, Paul. Good morning or good afternoon, I guess.
Yes, sir.
Losing sleep.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's good, right? Everything is good. Everything is great. We should just celebrate with some air horn. Yeah. Does it feel?
There you go.
is that accurate? Are we out of the woods completely? Is everything just fine now? Is our economy totally recovered? Can we just go back to normal? Can I start walking around naked again?
You're going to make me be the heavy. For a variety of reasons, I don't think it's a good idea to go walking around naked quite yet. We're not fully out of the woods. In fact, I don't want to make light of a number of businesses that are continuing to struggle as we reemerge from this COVID crisis. But things are better since the last time you and I spoke, so I'm very encouraged by that, and I'm looking forward to getting into that with you today.
Yeah, the last time we spoke, so just a chronology for folks, the first time we spoke was actually the first episode of Filter, which we're coming up on a year of this show on June 4th. It'll be officially 1 year. I think that'll be our 50th episode as well, and it'll be a bad advice with Paul Rice, so stay tuned for that in a couple weeks. But Brian was on our very first show, and Brian just sort of laid it down, all of what was happening to businesses. Most of them were shut down at the time. We talked a lot about, you know, the relief packages that were coming through and understanding. God, I've forgotten. I remember the CARES Act, but there was a couple different packages at the time that were for small businesses to help float them through the pandemic. Well, God, I can't even remember what the names of the programs were. It's been that long.
Yeah, there are a few, man. There is the Working Washington 1, 2, 3, and 4.0 rounds. In fact, Working Washington 4 just or is in the process of wrapping up now, and we should get a name or a list of folks in Jefferson who received those. But I was told that without giving names, there were 64 awards to Jefferson County businesses, and I think approximately $1.2 million total. So if my math is somewhat right, it was an average grant amount of around
$18,000. Wow.
So that is meaningful money to the businesses that applied. So I'm excited to hear more about that. If anyone's listening and you received a Working Washington grant, congratulations. If you're listening and haven't heard back yet whether or not you received the Working Washington grant, I'm happy to help make that connection. So get a hold of us at the EDC if that's the case. But you should have heard one way or another, and we got a lot of awardees that really just, you know, infuses that much-needed capital here and makes me happy.
Yeah. How do people get a hold of you at the EDC?
The easiest way is via email, which is director@edcteamjefferson.org. And it's generic like that because my board says in case I get hit by a bus, they'll just have the new person slide in and they'll get the email. So.
We actually have like 8 or 9 Brian Koos in vats, just like at strategic locations. We actually, and they're in Jefferson County. You know, they're not in Clallam. Let's just put it that way. Because, you know, we're keeping our business local. But yeah, so don't worry, Brian, we can never replace you because we have so many clones of you that
the clones. And once again, the Simpsons, predicted it, right?
Yes. The Simpsons predicted everything. I think it is like our existence is simply the Simpsons. The Simpsons more accurate than the Bible at this point. Oh, and all opinions are mine, not KPTZ's.
The phones are lighting up.
The phones are lighting up. We got a few callers now. My email address is paul@kptz.org if you want to talk about how the Simpsons is more accurate than the Bible. Brian's like, why did I come on the show again?
No comment from the EDC.
No comment from the EDC or from Brian Koo. But so then we talked again right at the beginning of lockdown number 2, part 2, as I I don't like to call it that. This is the first time I've called it lockdown two, which was, that was happening right around the end of last year. Cause we kind of, mm-hmm. Came out and we spread our wings a little bit in the summertime. Right. I mean, there was a little bit of a relief. It seemed like, I mean, I feel like I went into some businesses in the summer that I then couldn't go to in the winter time.
Yeah, that's right. There was kind of a fits and starts based on the guidance we received from the governor's office. Because of those second or third wave, whatever wave we were in. But, I mean, where we sit today, doors are open, sun's shining. Our tourism sector is back, baby. And yeah, it's exciting to hear about. The chamber shared one of the best things that recently happened to my colleague over at the chamber was she got an email from somebody complaining about the parking, and it was like, all right, that's a great problem to have.
That is so, number one PT getting back to normal. When we're complaining about the parking again,
that's right.
It's like nothing ever changed. Because the parking,
it feels right.
It does. We made it. We made it to that point at least. And you're right. I don't mean to say that there isn't some to make light of folks who are still really struggling with COVID. I mean, I'm boots on the ground with a couple folks helping them through it. And, you know, it's real. The devastation of this pandemic on small businesses just can't be overstated. It has been a nightmare. And the businesses that survived, they took advantage of the resources that were there, but you know, they also in many ways got lucky because they didn't have other personal crises or other things come up to force them to, you know, basically not be a business anymore or shut down shop. And it is truly, truly awful to see some of the effects that have happened. So even as we celebrate, as we're kind of coming out of this winter lockdown, just know that some folks didn't make it out, and some folks literally died, and some folks had their livelihoods just completely annihilated.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's easy to lose sight of that, as we're all coming out of our respective cocoons. But yeah, there has been tragedy along the way, but we're also in a great position now to fully blossom again as a community.
Well, so let's talk about that. I mean, we are at this point now, the last time we spoke, we were going back into lockdown. Now it feels like we're discussing whether or not we have to wear masks anymore. And that maybe it's only a couple weeks out that there will be no masks required. Currently, Jefferson County requires masks be worn indoors, just sort of like everything was, you know. And there are certain businesses that aren't in Jefferson County that are allowing folks who have been fully vaccinated to not wear masks and go into the business. We're not quite at that point in Jeffco yet, but it feels like it's right around the corner. What and the tourism sector coming back is huge, right? In some ways, I feel like the tourism never quite went away in the winter. Even with the lockdowns, like I feel like there were always people out and about, but now, you know, it's just like summer never left, or maybe it's like summer times 10 because everyone's trying to get out of the city and come here.
Yep, absolutely. And we knew that was going to happen, or I guess we suspected as much, and boy, it came true and in spades. And I'll say one thing too, as far as economic development, we see tourism as the front door to economic development. I mean, that's how we introduce people to this community. And that was not a phrase I coined, but that's one I borrowed from a colleague in the industry of the tourism product, which is a big thing for Jefferson County because of the beauty of where we live, really is how we invite folks to potentially relocate here and bring their business here or start a business here. So with that booming, that's exciting. Now, Paul, you and I have talked about the kind of existential dread that comes with that because of our housing crisis.
Right.
And obviously more folks coming here and bringing their money and bringing their jobs, which we love. It exacerbates the housing crisis that we have. So it makes it that much more urgent.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're hoping to see some big changes on that front. We're hoping to see more apartments being built, increase the density in Port Townsend. I think anybody who's opposed to that is actually opposed to the growth of this city and this county in terms of bringing jobs in. There's hope in projects like the Port Hadlock sewer, of which I'm a huge proponent of, and you know, is going to revitalize the commercial area in Port Hadlock and bring so much more potential business resources. You know, on the residential side, I'm not really ready to get into that. I understand there's some issues, but I mean, we are so close. We're like $2 to $3 million off from funding a commercial sewer project in Port Hadlock. So that, I mean, there's so many reasons to be excited. But we have to temper that with the fact that we don't really have very good infrastructure out here. Like I want to sugarcoat that, but I can't. The infrastructure, for supporting service workers, for folks, you know, who aren't, you know, making six figures a year, or, you know, or somewhere close to that. It's very, very difficult to survive unless you have family here, you know, somebody. So it takes a level of, I'm going to say wealth, but you know, it takes a level of money to move to Jefferson County at this point. And that's something that I don't know how we level that playing field, and maybe there aren't any easy answers, but it's certainly something worth talking about.
Well, and let's talk about it. I want to talk about some of the stuff that happened at this latest legislative session, and some big dollars that are on the horizon that address exactly what you're talking about. Does that sound good?
Let's do it.
Okay. So obviously this was a unique legislative session for a number of reasons, not the least of which being that it was all done virtually. One thing that was kind of funny is for folks like myself who were able to testify on various initiatives that were making their way through, boy, when your time was up, you knew it because it cut you off. So it was unique in that regard. But nonetheless, a lot of good work happened and a lot of good things got funded, which is pretty amazing. A number that still just blows my mind, but I'm looking at it once again, so it must be true, is $411 million to address broadband infrastructure throughout the state. So that,
wow,
that is real.
Can you
money.
Say that number again?
$411 million.
I just wrote it down. Yeah. I don't know why I wrote it down, but like,
well, it's good, you know, for trivia around the dinner table.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, and Paul, the last couple times you and I talked, we talked about this is, the COVID crisis forced us all into our cocoons, and to be able to continue to live and work, we rely heavily on broadband. And so, it really exposed the gaps throughout the state and definitely here in Jefferson County. So that's a big amount of money. One of the tables we have helped set at the EDC is the Jefferson Broadband Action Team. Yes, an action team. And it's a group of multiple agencies and volunteers in the community are getting together to help address the broadband infrastructure gap challenge. And so we just had a discussion this morning with Russ Elliott, who is the director of the state broadband office, and he was just giddy with all the growth that his office is going to be a part of, and said that Jefferson County was, he told us we were number one on his list, but, you know, I may temper that expectation a little bit just because he was, you know, talking with a bunch of Jefferson County people. But a lot of good stuff is set to occur. The PUD is doing some dynamic growth, including throughout South County. So I'm really excited about that for Brennan, Quilcene areas. That's just going to be a game changer in those communities, getting their connectivity either fixed or, of course, increased from a weak cell signal to true fiber-based broadband. So that's exciting stuff, and a lot of money coming down the pike for that.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't know if there really is specific earmarks at this point, but I mean, are we talking about getting fiber, you know, throughout the county? Are we talking about fixing the DSL lines or replacing them? Is there any specific action towards that money at this point?
You're going to hate this answer, but it's really all the above. You know, the perfect solution is every house and business is connected to fiber, glass fiber to their house, which really in many ways has unlimited capacity for future growth. But there's going to be obviously wireless solutions to help address last mile connectivity issues, especially in our most rural, least dense areas. So it's a multifaceted approach. It's going to require collaboration with not only the public agencies, but also private ISPs. It's going to be interesting to see how it moves forward. Now, one thing that passed that those of us in the economic development community were certainly in favor of, or at least in the rural communities, but not everyone may be, is the allowance of PUDs and ports to be a retail service provider for broadband. Mm. So what that means is in areas where it's just not profitable for a private provider to come in and install the infrastructure to get people connected, these public entities can do that, and they can also access grant funds in the process. So that's pretty exciting, and that's a new occurrence that I'm optimistic about how that'll really help, like I said, in those most challenged areas.
Yeah. So, and something that's been a big topic, at least on social media, is all these UFO sightings that Jefferson County residents have been witnessing. And then it turns out to be the Starlink satellite, or one of the Starlink satellites, which I saw the other day. I believe that's the name. And they're Tesla's rural broadband system, where basically you're getting your internet beamed to you from a satellite. Is that something that's a part of any of this, or is that just a separate Elon Musk project?
You know, again, speaking out of both sides of my mouth, it's both. It's absolutely, at the very least, the stopgap solution. In fact, I'm looking out my window right now, and there's my SpaceX Starlink dish in the yard, and that's what's keeping me connected right
now. Wait, you got SpaceX Starlink?
I got Starlink. I was fortunate enough to be an early beta tester, and it's just gotten better and better for me.
Oh my God. So let's interview you a little bit about that, because I'm super curious. You're the first person I've talked to who has it.
Okay.
And of course you're out in Squim. So what kind of megabytes per second are you getting?
So I peak speed, I'm getting about 225. Now this is coming from somebody who before this
225?
Was on DSL.
Oh my God.
225 megabytes a second. Now it's not always that high, but it's consistently over 100 megabytes a second. So
that's wild. So
it is.
Does that relate to the location of the satellite itself? Like, you're going to get worse coverage if the satellite isn't directly overhead?
Absolutely. And so you're jumping right to the challenge with Starlink is, they keep launching satellites, and so it's improving. But, you know, the speed will vary significantly. When I say significantly, I mean it'll drop to 20 megabytes a second and then shoot up to like 200, like I said. But very low ping rate. That doesn't mean much to most people except for gamers.
Right.
So your latency will be super low.
Yeah.
Which apparently is a good thing. The other downside too, when it was in beta test, is sometimes it would just drop because there'd be a gap in satellites. So you'd be chugging along and then all of a sudden you lost your connection. That has reduced significantly with more and more satellites going up. So, you know, back to those of us who are working on the broadband issue as a whole, we view Starlink as a stopgap. And I think I said that before, you know, as a temporary solution to an ideal end, which ideally, again, would be fiber to each and every home. Because, you could get connections well north of a gigabit a second, which is just, as Spaceball says, ludicrous speed.
Right. Nobody needs that.
Application.
Nobody needs that, but we'll take it.
We'll take it. Yep, exactly. So it's pretty cool. The downside to Starlink, there's two right now, is one, availability for folks who have ordered it, and I think just about anybody out there can order it, is late 2021 shipping. So there's that delay. The other part, too, is there's a bit of an upfront cost to it with the equipment. All in, it was about $600. So that was a commitment we had to make in my house. And given the fact that we were pushing 3 megabytes a second with our DSL, it was a pretty short discussion. But still, that does make it inaccessible for a lot of folks.
Oh, and if I can ask before we go to a musical break, like, what do you have a monthly cost on top of that? You don't have to say what it is if you don't want to, but.
No, it's fine. It's public knowledge. It's $100 a month, unlimited data, which is great, but at the higher end of the spectrum for broadband connectivity fees.
Well, and does the equipment, I mean, it'll last for a long time. It's not something that you're hearing about needing to be replaced frequently or anything like that?
Not yet. I'm hoping it doesn't. Yeah, I'm going to eventually move the dish from our yard to on top of the house, so that may... I don't know if that'll help or hinder, but either way, it should work a little better.
Wow, that's so cool. I mean, even at 20 megabytes per second, that rivals what a lot of people get in Jefferson County. So it's hard to imagine a better stopgap, honestly, other than the cost of entry. I mean, it's the same cost as you would get from, you know, doing Wave or some other, you know, the fiber optic, you know, set up in Port Townsend or cable setup.
Yep.
So that's wild. Well, let's do a quick musical break. Brian, you brought us a song. It actually is by the same band from the first episode of Filter, the same
that's
band
right.
that you brought a song from. So give us a little intro to this
All
cut
right.
and then I'll play it.
So this album came out about a year ago, which times up with that first interview, Biffy Clyro, A Celebration of Endings. Which, much like their typical style, is upbeat, uplifting, but also with a kind of a darker edge to it. So they're those guys. But they did a ballad that was Sincerely So, and it was a nice song. But as part of an Amazon exclusive, they orchestrated it and recorded it at Abbey Road Studios. And it just floored me. I love it when songs are reimagined with an orchestra and such. And this was a great one. So I'm excited for y'all to hear it. And yes, it is sappy, but you can send your critiques to me at the email address I mentioned earlier. But otherwise, I hope folks enjoy it.
If you don't like sappy, you cannot email paul@kptz.org unless you're going to say, you know, I'm wrong and I'm pretentious. So let's listen to Space by Biffy Clyro, and we'll be right back with Brian Koo here on KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend.
Tanse, hi, this is Jared Martineau from CBC Music's Reclaimed. I want to congratulate KPTZ 91.9 FM for their 10 years on the air. With listener support, KPTZ will continue to bring you shows like Reclaimed and all of the other great programming that you enjoy. Stay tuned and find out what's next for your local community radio station. To make a donation, visit kptz.org.
All right, you're back on Filter. I'm Paul Rice, and we've got Brian Koo on the line. We just listened to Biffy Clyro, Space, and I completely teared up during that one. So again, if you think that's sappy, you're wrong. I mean, one of the things that has come so true for me. Well, let me say this lyric that really moved me in the song was "Love's truest meaning." Lives when you're not there. So that sense of, you know, the feeling of void, you know, when I lost my mom this year, and it was just like, whoa, you know, that is you never feel, I mean, hopefully you feel it when the person is alive, but you really recognize how much you love somebody when they are not there to feel your love or to reciprocate it in the flesh. So thank you for bringing that song, Brian. That's truly moving.
Absolutely, man. I'm glad you liked it. And that's from me to you, sir. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. And I was getting goosebumps, honestly, even through the patina of the radio. And if folks enjoyed that, I'd encourage you to check them out. Biffy Clyro, they're a Scottish band. They've been on the scene for about 15 years now. And just doing some really good work, including the occasional love ballad. So.
Yeah, and you brought it for us today, Brian. Thank you. And you also,
yep.
Brian brings Brian brings music that I don't normally listen to, but then you also bring like Gojira, which, you know, was, you know, my girlfriend was like, my God, that song's so amazing. So, you know, you're bringing it. Maybe you should have your own show here on KPTZ 91.9 FM Port Townsend.
Maybe, you know, I'm musically bipolar, so it's always a joke when I turn on my, you know, my iPod mix. You never know what you're going to get.
I love that.
And I got to tell you, since I saw you last, Gojira released the album associated with that song I brought you. The album's called Fortitude, and it is an absolute masterpiece. And it's definitely on the more aggressive side of things. That's typically my genre of music is, you know, things in the vein of Def Leppard, Metallica, you know, growing up with that. So I'm not always a love ballad kind of guy, but when I hear a good one, I'm happy to share it.
Brian Koo, not always a love ballad kind of guy, but unless he's in the mood. And then Mrs. Koo, watch out.
No comment.
All opinions are mine and not KPTZ's. By the way, KPTZ is only $2,500 away from hitting our $50,000 match goal. So is really close. Really close. So I'm going to do a longer pitch at the top of the hour. But if you haven't donated to KPTZ yet in this fund drive, you can really make a difference in our last stretch. So go to kptz.org. Click donate now and hopefully become a sustainer, which means that you donate every month. I'm a sustainer. I donate $10 a month to KPTZ. And I hope that you can find, even if it's less than that, even if it's a dollar, it makes a difference. So thank you for anybody who's able to support. And if you haven't and you like what you hear, please go do that. And so, Brian, we have about 6 minutes left. I'm curious. We talked a little bit about the legislative session. I'm sure there's some more light at the end of the tunnel coming out of that. And I guess that's kind of what I want to hear from you. We've taken the temperature of tourism. Tourism's doing really well in Jeffco. Marine trades sound like they're doing pretty well as well.
They're doing great. On the whole, I don't want to paint them as a blanket, but the boatyard is full. I heard as recently as last night that they had to turn a few boats away just because they're packed. One thing I hadn't thought of, because I'm not a professional mariner myself. I have a little boat, but a lot of folks have been cooped up, and so they're looking to get back out on the water again. So a lot of jobs are happening. Pete at the PT Foundry said that he's just going gangbusters. So I am overjoyed. I love it. I love going through the boatyard, seeing all that activity. That all equates to money and jobs. So it's really cool.
That's great. So any other bellwethers or any other things you want folks to be aware of in the coming months as we basically shake off a year and a half of pandemic life?
Yeah. I mean, we all have to be still, you know, diligent. I just a shout out to Commissioner Kate Dean for giving a clarification update yesterday about wearing those masks inside buildings. That's going to be our path to salvation, is, you know, staying on that. The hospital's been doing a great job of getting the vaccines out there and available for folks. They're standing up a drop-in clinic where you can get same day Johnson & Johnson vaccines. So where your heart leads you on your personal health, please consider those resources available to you. You know, we have our challenges as we reemerge. The restaurants, we need to be supporting them now more than ever. The ones that made it through so far this winter, you know, that's amazing. That's a skin of the teeth type of story. So helping them out. A lot of them have deferred bills, you know, with potentially landlords and others, you know, other lenders. So we need to continue to support our local restaurants and venues like that, retail shops. And, you know, housing is really a big challenge. You know, one thing we talked about before, but you've confirmed it and others have as well, is, you know, folks in those urban cores are looking around and going, I don't really like this density. I sure don't like being locked down with all this density, and grass looks a little greener on the other side of that bridge over in Jefferson County. So they're able to take their jobs with them, you know, as things have become virtual. So So it's going to change our demographics here. You know, it's not a chaotic environment we're in, but it's certainly one where we can't fully predict our future. But there's a lot of good work going on with the city, the county, the port, the PUD, the hospital, of articulating our economic development approach and framework on how we want to pursue this as a county. So, man, I'm getting goosebumps again just talking about it, just because there's so much good work to be done. There's collaboration across agencies like I've never seen, and there's a lot of needs to be addressed and a lot of dollars to help do that. So, it's actually pretty exciting, Paul.
That's all great. And so when you look into your economic crystal ball, your whatever it looks like, it's green, it's got money stickers on it. It's hopefully not a magic eight ball. I mean, do you see us coming out of this stronger as a community? I'm hopeful for an optimistic result, obviously, and maybe you have a balanced view of it. But has this trial made us stronger and more resilient? Or has it exposed us in certain ways that may not be fixable?
That great question. And knowing I'm an optimist, that's just how I wake up in the morning. I absolutely believe this shock to our economy and our community is without a doubt going to make us stronger on the other side of it. It's going to, you know, it has and will continue to have tragedy along the way as we muscle through it. But what will emerge will be different. Unlike where we were before this happened, but we will undoubtedly be stronger. And I know that with adversity like this, we're better able to identify those weak spots to go after them and really address them with vigor. So that's the silver lining in this whole tragedy.
Well, before I disconnect you, shout out your email address one more time for anybody who wants to talk about economic development or business opportunities in Jefferson County.
Awesome. So you can get a hold of me at director@edcteamjefferson.org, or you can email the team at help@edcteamjefferson.org. I encourage folks who are listening, if this applies to you, if you're a food truck, a restaurant, a bar, a tavern, there is the Restaurant Revitalization Fund program with the SBA. Please, please, please apply to it, no matter, what you may think your chances are of getting it. But it's big money from the government targeted to restaurants and similar venues. So please consider going after that.
Thanks, Brian. We'll see you again with like the ultimate optimistic, not even optimistic. We're just going to be, everything's going to be Green Gables. We're going to be running through grassy fields, holding hands. Sorry, Mrs. Koo. And I can't wait for that next update. So let's get
I'm
there.
I'm looking forward to it. All right. Let's do it, man.
All right. Have a good one, Brian. Thanks for being here.
You too.
Bye.